reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one on your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." She said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, that's not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. Jesus summoned them and said, "You know how the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today is the day in which so many will descend and ascend upon Santiago de Compostela in order to finish the way of St. James and to mark with great rejoicing the presence of the first apostle to be martyred's body present there in northwestern Spain. It's likewise important for us, no matter where we are, even if we're not going to go to Galicia, to ponder the way of St. James so that we can, in fact, follow him. That journey begins at the Sea of Galilee, which we see St. James, together with his brother John and Andrew and Peter, all leave their boats immediately to follow Jesus at his summons. Showed an extraordinary capacity to detach himself from the good things of this world in order to attach himself so much more strongly to the Lord. And that's the first thing we learn in order to be able to follow Christ as James did, in order to journey on this Camino. It begins by recognizing that Jesus is the way and that we're willing to share ourselves of everything else in order to be able to follow him wholeheartedly. Those summons of the Lord to St. James continued throughout the rest of Jesus' public ministry. You know, St. James is the forgotten one, frankly, of the three. Jesus was constantly taking three of the 12 apart for a special formation. Obviously, Peter was there. St. John was there, and he has a gospel and three letters. But then there's James, who's kind of like the forgotten one. But James was there when Jesus took the three of them to cure Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Why didn't he just take Simon? Why didn't he take all 12? He was there for the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. He was there for Jesus' transfiguration at the top of the exceedingly high mountain. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. St. James was constantly following Jesus because Jesus knew James's prompt response. So he followed him, the miracles of healing, the miracles of raising from the dead, and the moments of great joy and exultation at the top of Tabor, but also the depths of sorrow, sweating blood in the garden. St. James shows us that to follow in his footsteps means to follow Jesus in all these ways, however he calls us, into all forms of human experience, because the Lord Jesus wants us to be with him in every one of those circumstances similarly. But then the way that Jesus indicates today in the gospel is the deepest of all. When the mother of James and John approached Jesus to ask ambitiously for her sons, who were too cowardly, it seems, to ask themselves, that they be given the two choicest seats. Let's crowd out Peter from the three. Let's crowd out the other nine. Let it be my boys. Jesus used it as a real teaching moment. You don't know what you're asking, he said to her, and then turning to the ones who likewise spurred her on. Are you able to drink the chalice that I'm about to drink? We've heard this phrase so many times that the disgusting aspect of it is lost on us. St. John Chrysostom told us this morning, Jesus didn't ask, are you willing to suffer with me? He could have. Are you willing to die with me? Are you willing to serve with me? None of those would have been quite as stark. But he says, are you willing to drink the chalice I am about to drink? The cup of salvation that Jesus himself would raise. That cup of suffering that Isaiah had prophesied in his suffering servant's song. That chalice, the chalice of blood, the chalice of real death. You know, if we were given a chalice of something disgusting to drink, most of us would recoil. And at a human level, that's what should happen to us when we hear this phrase. Jesus himself recoiled from it in the garden, three times begging the Father, Father, if it be your will, remove this chalice from me. But not what I will, but you, what you will. So we should keep in mind clearly what Jesus was proposing. And yet, James, together with his brother John, confidently said, we can. They were willing, in a sense, to drink whatever Jesus would offer, even though when Jesus took that fourth cup during the Last Supper and changed it into his blood and they drank it, rather than giving them courage, they all first lost their vigilance and then abandoned the Lord when he needed. It would be something that they'd need to learn how to do through their own suffering. But James was willing to do this. And Acts 12:2 tells us that he did it by decapitation from Herod. But Jesus was also saying that it's not just the way we're supposed to end our life. It's not just the terminus of the Camino that's important, but that the way we drink that chalice is through daily behavior. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be your slave. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. We drink that chalice through service, not just of those on the outside, but as I've commented before with you in the morning, Jesus specifically specifies among you, not just to say that the real goal is to be first among 12, but the way that it's in there is to say that the way that we become great is literally by serving each other. That the Lord wants us first and foremost to seek to drink that chalice by the way we really care for each other. We might think that drinking a chalice in this way is a path of death. It's a path of self-abnegation. But St. Paul today, who drank that chalice to the dregs throughout life in so many ways, describes that it's actually the path to real life. he says, we're always caring about in our bodies the dying of Jesus by drinking that chalice of self-sacrificial love. But why? So that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The only way the life of Jesus is going to be manifested is by our drinking that chalice of self-sacrifice. For we who live are constantly being given up to death, not necessarily by those on the outside, but occasionally. But we're constantly giving ourselves up to death to ourselves so that Christ's life can be manifested. We're doing so, he says, for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal body. This is ultimately the way of St. James. This is the pilgrimage on which Jesus wishes us to walk. He wants us to have the same holy ambition to be great in his kingdom, but he gives us the means. And every day, Jesus is going to give us a chalice to drink. It's not going to be an easy one. And forgiving each other and sacrificing for each other and loving someone even if they won't even look at you. And the way we gain that strength is by drinking that chalice every morning. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.